The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. What a weekend it is to buy a new vehicle. They've got the tax match going on. They will double your tax refund up to $5,000. I'm looking at the website now, new 2020 Explorers with over $11,000 in discounts. BillCurryFord.com. Remember their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And we remind you of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. If you're on spring break and you go home after a nice beach getaway and you come into your home and all of a sudden there's water everywhere and you're already smelling mold, you got to have a plan. And that's your first phone call to Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll give you a free assessment quickly. They'll respond quickly, so you know what's happening, and they'll work with you with your insurance company if that's what's necessary. Don't get ripped off. Don't freak out. Call Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite restoration.com. Put it in your favorites. Check them out. Understand that they'll help you if there's a roof issue, fire, wind, whatever's going on in your home, flood. Florida's Elite Restoration. They service the entire Tampa Bay area. They're a great local company. They love Ira. Ira knows them. Many readers and listeners of Joe Bucks Fan have used them. Floridaselite Restoration.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, 6 weeks from the draft, free agency's in full swing, and the man of the hour is always fired up, looking his Sunday best. Ira Kaufman, the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira. He's Ira Kaufman. We love him. He's got so many names. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We got plenty to talk about. Deals have been popping. There's angles flowing. Ira, it is so good to hear you. And I know, of course, that you are firmly parked, sitting inside your beautiful cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. How are you, Ira?
What a start for the 2021 Bucks to defend their championship. The 2002 team failed rather miserably to the tune of a 7-9 record. That's not good. And we all remember that year, and whether you argue in 2003 that it was that horrible loss to the Colts and the Bucks were never the same. Well, maybe, maybe not, but you know, you got to be more mentally tough than that. You can't let one loss ruin your season. The way the Bucks are operating, Lee, in March, they're hell-bent on giving themselves the best chance to repeat. And, Lee, I think the story of the week, other than the Bucks rounding up these free agents, is the outbreak of Brady envy all over the league. It's all over the league. Rodgers is pissed off. Watson's pissed off. Russell Wilson's pissed off, and they all look at Brady and the Buccaneers and say, why not me? Why don't I have this clout? Why don't I have this say? Why don't I have these players around me like Brady has? And you know what I say, Lee? It's a little expression from my Brooklyn days. Tough noogies. Tough noogies, gentlemen. Sit on it. Sit on it. Brady picked Tampa. And we are reaping the benefits, and boy, the benefits are rolling in.
It certainly is. Now, Ira, you bring up something I got to touch base on. You brought the name up, so I got to ask. Deshaun Watson, I have relatives that say they've never met anyone as cynical as I am. So maybe this is just the cynical me. But all these allegations now about Deshaun Watson, that just like, you know, snap your fingers, all of a sudden they appear right when it's pretty obvious that either he's going to, you know, weasel his way out of Houston or Houston's going to unload him. I almost have to believe, and let's put it this way. If someone told me this, I would actually believe it. David Tepper wants Deshaun Watson so bad, I'm almost ready to believe that he pulled some strings with some lawyer in Houston to come up with some allegations on Deshaun Watson, fair or unfair, true or untrue, to drive down his trade price.
That's very interesting, Lee. He's a wolf in waiting.
Ira, before you get rolling here, Tepper, who Lee is referencing, that's the Panthers owner. He's been in place now a couple of seasons, and you know, I know you spend time with him.
I've met this guy. I've listened to him. I've talked to him. He's ultra aggressive. He will not wallow in mediocrity. And he looks to me, Lee, like a guy that will do whatever is needed to turn this franchise around. And it's a moribund franchise. I mean, other than McCaffrey, they ain't got much, Lee, let's be honest.
Moribund, that's bad. That's lost decade bucks bad.
I mean, they're very forgettable. Nobody talks about the Panthers. Tepper's a go-getter. Would he stoop to that kind of level? You never know. But, Steve, the timing is very curious about these allegations against Deshaun Watson. It's a heck of a coincidence, Steve.
Well, it's quite a theory by Lee there, and I don't know if the timing is that much of a coincidence, Ira, because this was probably planned a long time ago the initial attorney and the accusers, and you know, this is the time where NFL has the complete spotlight, right? Anybody in the business of media knows that March free agency trumps all, except for maybe opening day and the playoffs. That is true. So that's really probably the gist of it right there. I can't imagine an NFL owner would do that. The guy just invested, I think his team cost close to $1 billion or more than $1 billion. I mean, that's a lot to roll the dice on, you know, a penalty that would get you banned from the league for doing something like that. So I don't know if his risk management and his hedge fund days would probably tell him not to do it. But I understand the sentiment. And of course, it's wild. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Watson when you compare these six or seven accusers as we have right now and these suits and the stories compared to what happened to Jameis Winston and him accepting a three-game sentence from Goodell and all that. So that's the only reason I'm curious.
This is the way I'm thinking about this Watson situation. Maybe I'm being naive, but if it is one final blow that, kicks him out the door.
Easy.
In Houston. Lee, something tells me that it's not going to stop David Tepper from being interested in him. I don't think it's enough to scuttle a potential deal for Deshaun Watson. In Tepper's eyes, I think he's willing to roll the dice a little bit. That's my read on Tepper.
I was listening to Michael Lombardi on his podcast, and Tepper's name came up, and Lombardi apparently had read a book about Tepper. Lombardi said Tepper is a typical hedge fund guy, big on risk management. They're huge on trying to find something they could throw their money at and get a huge return. He said if they're looking at throwing three or even four first-round picks to get Deshaun Watson, I don't think Tepper's going to go for that because that's not a hedge fund guy. He goes, that's an awful high price for a guy like Tepper to pay for a quarterback.
Interesting. I know Tepper craves relevance, Steve. You know, now he's been in the league for a while, and he's not relevant. And I think that's eating him up. And he sees Deshaun Watson as kind of a shortcut. Look, the guy's in his prime. Maybe he hasn't even reached his prime. He's not Russell Wilson, you know, taking a lot of punishment and 32 years old. He's going to do whatever it takes to get Watson. He might be unsuccessful, but it's not going to be from lack of trying, Steve.
Well, just to clarify, because I looked it up there real quick, Tepper paid over $2 billion for the Panthers. So I don't think that's worth running the risk to try to pull something shady just to get the guy. That's an awful risk there. All right, guys, the free agent signings were coming this week. Now, we talked in our first podcast about Shaq Barrett, so we don't need to go backwards there. But I'm going to hit you off here one at a time, Ira. We already talked about Gronk. Now in the books is the man himself, Ryan Succop. Looks like he got about $4 million a year, which is top kicker money. And he deserves it, of course. And he had some great leverage on the Bucs. But they pulled this off, Ira. What do you think?
I don't think they had a choice, Steve. I absolutely don't think they had a choice. You're going for a Super Bowl. You're hurting yourself if you got a lousy kicker. That you're at a disadvantage every week, as Buck fans can tell you for like 12 years. You're down by a field goal already before the game starts. And most NFL games are close. So you got somebody. This guy never misses inside the 40, Lee. I mean never. Look, he got a nice bump, Lee. I think he made $1 million in 2020. So he got a significant bump. One of the highest paid kickers in the league. But he was really good in Tennessee before he got hurt. You know, he resurrected himself last year, and he deserves to be rewarded. And Lee, we all said on this podcast, and I think accurately, suck up was the next priority after Barrett came into the fold. Yes, ahead of Gronkowski, ahead of Sue, ahead of Fournette, ahead of Brown. It was suck up. And I think Buck history played a big role in it. It wasn't like, you know, they've had a lot of good kickers in the past. They'll go out and get another one. But that history was weighing down, especially on Jason Light. And they did the right thing. They cost them a little bit more maybe than they thought. But Buck fans are very happy about it.
We started the chant, make kicking boring again. And we actually had hats made up to say that. You know, the Bucks were the only team in the NFL that made extra points exciting. I mean, you have such a circus that you didn't want to leave your couch. You didn't want to leave your seat. You didn't want to leave your table at the bar. You didn't want to leave anything. I mean, you were locked in to watch a friggin' extra point because it was such just a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Blame whoever you want. The fact of the matter is, outside of a couple of years with Connor Barth, it was like, what, 12 years that this team had just off? I mean, just a nightmarish kick, nightmarish. And no matter what they tried, they couldn't get a kicker in here. Didn't matter if they drafted high. Didn't matter if they drafted low. Didn't matter if they bought cheap. Didn't matter if they bought high. Didn't matter if they brought minor league kickers in. Nothing mattered. And finally, if you want to call it an accident, a sign of God, whatever, that they landed Suckup, and Suckup was excellent. Like you said, Ira, history was on Suckup's side. You know, Suckup said, you're like, look, I mean, you can go back to Matt Gay and not be able to kick a chip shot on the south end zone, or you can get my client who's, as reliable as can be. And so Suckup had the Bucks over the barrel. As I wrote this morning on JoeBucksFan.com, he was the third most important free agent because if you're banking on going back to the Super Bowl, I don't know if banking is the right word, but that's your goal, is to get back and win another Super Bowl. Sooner or later, you're likely going to be in a close game. And a missed field goal very likely might be the difference between you watching your next game on the couch on TV like everybody else or playing in that game.
That's right. And Steve, I don't think, especially Light sitting in that executive chair, and he's been there a lot longer than Arians has through the kicking, the woes. And Steve, if Suckup goes to free agency and you lose him, all of a sudden people are talking about Roberto Aguayo. And, here we go again. And if you're Jason Light, Steve, you can't allow that to happen. You just can't.
Well, you bring up a good point, Ira, and I'm going to take it from this angle. Ryan Suckup, with his $4-plus million, he's getting top six kicker money.
Yep.
And we know that Rob Gronkowski, with his $8 million-plus incentives to 10, is now getting top six tight end money. We talked about that on the last podcast, and then the numbers came out, and also it came out that the Bills were after him. Gronkowski grew up in the shadow of Rich Stadium up there, and they came after him hard, and obviously they're a good team. He's been in the division. He might have thought about it. And then we learn from Shaq Barrett, who did a whirlwind of interviews, that the Bucks gave Shaq the best offer available that he could find. And when you look at what other pass rushers got, Shaq got his $18 million, and nobody got close to that. And even Von Miller, they retained him, exercised his option in Denver. He got $18 million, but nobody else got close. So where's the hometown discount that we kept hearing about was going to be coming for the Bucks? The Bucks basically have said, the hell with the hometown discount. We're paying you guys, and we're kicking the money down the road.
You know, Steve, everything you just said, adds up to one thing. And Lee, it's the message from the top. Now, I'm not saying the Glazers are weighing in on Ryan Suckup and every free agent that decision that has to be made, Nunez, Roaches, and whatever. But what I am saying is they set the tone. And the tone they have set, and it's the right tone, and I think you sum it up in three words. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. This is a guy you really want, whatever it takes. And Buck fans can't argue with that. Buck fans have to applaud that. It hasn't always been that way, but that's the way it is right now. You've got Brady. You don't know how much longer you're going to have him. You got a Lombardi trophy in your case. You're trying to get another one. Lee, whatever it takes, that's the creed at One Buck Place and Buck Nation is absolutely jubilant about that philosophy.
And I like the philosophy because, you know what? When will the Bucks ever get to this position again? We don't know. Could be 4 years, could be 25 years. Who knows? Maybe it's the last time, Ira, in our lifetime that we will see the Bucks in this kind of position. So I like the aggressiveness. I like the, you know, pedal to the metal mentality.
Nobody can argue with the Bucks not worrying about 2025. You'll never be in this spot again. You'll never have a Brady again. There's never been another Brady.
Ira, Aaron Stinney re-signed 1 year. They avoided having to go the restricted free agent route with him, where they might have paid him anywhere from $2 to $3.5 million. Any thoughts on that move, bringing back your Super Bowl right guard, 27 years old, 4 games of experience, but all playoff games? What do you think?
I don't think we should go about trying to assert that he's going to win the starting job over Kappa. I don't think that's going to happen. It's not crazy that it could. Personally, I didn't think the Buck O-line missed the beat with Stinney. Stinney picked the right time to play well in place of Kappa. I think he goes back in a reserve role, but Lee, now we're talking about depth on an offensive line. Before, we were trying to find starters. It shows you how far they've come as an organization.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Light knew what he was doing with drafting players, but they weren't getting developed.
And A lot of them, Lee.
Could you point to the fact that the key to this Super Bowl winning team was that guys were developed?
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, Brady's wasn't developed, but there's so many of them, Lee. And you start with Ronald Jones and take it from there.
That may be number one right there.
That may be number one, the secondary. Godwin got better the last 2 years. Jensen got better. You know, I didn't think Jensen's so Devin White's, you know, ascension. Lee Golston's played better the last 2 years than he had in the previous spot.
But he was always decent against the run. I think he's played his best ball. I agree with you. I think he's played his best ball the past couple of years. He's put on some weight, but he was always decent against the run. I always hearken to the Doug Martin game, I call it, the Christmas Eve game in New Orleans, when Doug Martin was a healthy scratch, and we found out a few days later why. And Golson got hurt in the second half. And once he got hurt, Sean Payton started running up where he was on the right, on the Bucks' left side, and they beat the Bucks. It was a close game, and that basically knocked the Bucks out of the playoffs. Very good the last couple of years.
Ira, Leonard Fournette, he's still out there. We go, who's coming next? Playoff Lenny, it's a topic Lee likes here because he's wrestling with the Belichicks, trying to hammer out a deal. They're interested. Bill Belichick's interested, yet the Bucks are interested in James White, and he obviously spent 7 years up there, and other teams may be interested. The Bucks need another running back. They still need one, so it's not like this isn't an important situation. They're not just going to they didn't re-sign LeSean McCoy, who obviously isn't high on their list. So what do you make of this, and what do you make of the Patriots, who have been very active in free agency coming after Fournette?
I would be surprised at this point if James White is not a Buck by training camp. I think he fits the mold. I don't know how many other teams are interested in James White, but I think the Bucks have a serious, serious interest. I'm not sure if Belichick wants to re-sign him. Certainly he does not have to be introduced to Mr. Tom Brady. They were a marvelous combination. You know what the guy does? Well, he keeps the chains moving on third and six. That's what he does. And he's real good at it. Now, is he going to carry the ball more than two or three times a game? No, he's not. He's not an exceptional runner. I don't think he's really been used in high leverage. So having said that, guys, to me the flip side is I don't think Fournette's coming back. You know, maybe he made himself some nice coin with that big January. God bless him if it happens. I got to think some team is interested in Leonard Fournette as their number one back, and I'm not sure if he comes back to Tampa that he's the Bucks' number one back. If I'm Leonard Fournette, I'm going where I got a chance to be more productive and maybe looking ahead to another contract down the road. Maybe you sign with another team for a year or two and then cash in when the salary cap goes up. So, Lee, I think White's coming to Tampa. Don't forget about Vaughn. He's not a bum. I like to see a little bit more of him, just like I want to see more Tyler Johnson. I don't see Fournette coming. I see White coming.
Well, you set me up with Tyler Johnson. I think Tyler Johnson was a hell of a draft pick. I like Tyler Johnson. I think he will be a stud receiver in the years to come. But the Bucs are trying to win a Super Bowl. There should be nothing in their mindset, nothing on the tip of their tongues that uses the word development. Nothing at all. If you can't produce, then, you know, sit on a bench, wait for a couple of years. I don't even want to hear the word development. That should not even be uttered in public by anyone employed by the Bucs. If you really are going for two, as they say, I don't want to hear a word about development. Whatever guy you're trying to develop, you better get a guy at that position who can produce. Develop is down the road. And here's what I'll say about Leonard Fournette. I know some people are saying, oh, my gosh, you got James White. You just have to get this guy. He can't run with a lick, but darn, he can catch. They need that guy in the backfield to catch through. Whoa. Let's rewind a couple of weeks here. I just watched a Bucs team with Leonard Fournette score 30 points in four playoff games. In those same games, Leonard Fournette also ran for touchdown. What am I seeing wrong here? Where is this sudden need for a pass-catching back? The Bucs have a fair amount of receivers and tight ends that can catch the ball. Thank you very much. I don't see where this great need is for a receiving back. No, I said receiving back, not running back. You know, they bring this James White in. It's for only one reason: catch the ball on third down. Someone hit me over the head. Where's the sudden need for a one-trick pony like James White? If Bill Belichick wants Leonard Fournette, allegedly, and Bill Belichick also doesn't want James White, allegedly, that should tell you something.
Well, it tells me Cam Newton is not Tom Brady in terms of being...
No, he's not.
The reason I'm talking up James White is because Steve has been consistent on this, and Steve says, hey, I want to squeeze three more points a game out of this offense. Let's go up to 33 points. I think that's one way to do it. I think White would add something to this offense, keep drives going on third down. Now, Lee's right. Brady doesn't lack for targets, but this is a proven combination, Steve, and you want your 3 points. That might help you get there.
There's some interesting layers to it. Fournette can catch, right? Before he got here, he caught 70-something balls in Jacksonville in 2019, and his hands weren't perfect with the Bucs, but they were damn good, and they got better later in the season. Maybe some of that was more chemistry with Brady, more time to practice. Remember, he wasn't here for training camp. I don't discount some of that stuff. And also, I got to say, Bill Belichick, you know, the fact is, LeGarrette Blount in 2016 scored 18 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns for Belichick. And Belichick said, I don't want to pay you. Don't feel like paying you. What did Blount do? He went to the Eagles and ran it down the Patriots' throat in the Super Bowl and beat him. So Belichick's made some mistakes like that. Sometimes he's gotten a little too tough on who he doesn't feel like paying, and White has a market out there. So I don't know, but I would prefer Fournette big time because he can run the ball, Ira. He can be a number one, three down back. You know, White definitely can't do that. So it's interesting.
One thing I think, guys, and I think you two guys are guilty about this, and I keep trying to remind you, and it's not getting anywhere. Lee, I'm not getting through. Have we forgotten about Ronald Jones? Have we forgotten?
I have not.
No, but this is...
Jones was getting the job done until he got hurt. For me, Ronald Jones goes into the year, Fournette or no Fournette, is the number one back on this football team. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel.
I got you, Ira. But
I think
it's fair. Totally fair, Ira. But if you got a pick between James White and Fournette, and I don't think the money difference is going to be that much, gosh, I'd much rather have Fournette, who can do more things.
You got Vaughn, too.
True. Then we're getting into the development stage. I'm not giving up on Vaughn whatsoever. But if you're going all for it, development shouldn't be used.
I guess I'm a little surprised Fournette hasn't attracted a decent deal on the open market. I'm a little surprised.
Well, you know what? We'll catch more of that on the next podcast because there really haven't been a lot of running backs signing all over the place. So we don't even We don't even know what the market looks like yet as we tape this, Ira. So let me get to a couple of interesting things, Ira. I got to throw this at you because it's, you know, I know fan. Well, you know what? I'll save this one till later in the podcast because I know it's going to just irk so many people. I don't want to upset people right now, Ira.
Save the best for last.
I don't even know if it's the best, but it's certainly going to annoy some people. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We all love Big Storm Beer. So many options to choose from, and it really is Florida's best craft beer, brewed locally right here in the Tampa Bay area. They've got tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater on 49th Street, the flagship location, also down in Cape Coral, and now out in Orlando at the Amway Center. And it really is about the beer. Beautiful weather we've been having, great beer drinking weather. My favorite, of course, is the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA. A little strong for most people, but you know what? It really hits the spot. So good. I know you love the Tropic Pressure Golden Ale. Get to the website, bigstormbrewery.com, bigstormbrewery.com. You'll see all the varieties and see everything you need to know. And of course, their menu is there. The food is fantastic. It is the home of our draft party opening night. We're getting closer, Ira. Come April, we're going to start really explaining more of what's going on there. But bottom line, opening night will be there all night. 3,000 square foot of outdoor seating. And you got the indoor tap room. And there's going to be extra seats. And the viewing is fantastic. Big Storm, gosh, it's going to be a lot of fun. You don't have to wait to go there. Big Storm, 49th Street. Sit outside, have a great meal and some great beer this weekend. BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, Levani David jumped on the I Am Athlete podcast, which is a foul-mouthed, fun show with four ex-NFL players. They brought in Levante David in there, and they were really talking about all kinds of stuff. And one thing Levante David said is that, and he used the mother effer term, it revealing how Todd Bowles talks to the defense. And basically how Todd Bowles, he said that the guy just gives players confidence like David has never seen a coach do before, really gets in their heads, and that the Bucks have a lot of young players who really needed that. And Bowles was constantly telling them, look, I don't care how good the other offense is or how good and much how much hype our offense gets with the Bucks. We're the badass guys that carry this darn team. And Bowles brought that energy all the time and that mindset of where we have to win every game every week here. And sure enough, it culminated in the Super Bowl where they did go out and completely dominate in a way that was really historic. He threw so much credit at Bowles, who he said refuses to accept and even look for any credit.
You know, I love this peek into the other side of Bowles' personality. Lee, how many times have you and I on this podcast now for 2 years talked about how soft-spoken Bowles is? He gives you nothing. He's quiet. He doesn't look that assertive on a Zoom call or in front of a podium. But Lee, I love the fact that there's two Todd Bowleses. And, you know, when the cameras get put away, he's laying into Vita Vea and laying into Carlton Davis and holding him to the highest of standards. And I think David, who normally I never thought of Levante David uttering anything but a Sunday school sermon. And we've been around the guy, you know, for 10 years. So he's flashing, you know, he's feeling his oats a little bit, Lee, but this Bowles thing, I think there's a lot more to Bowles' character. I've been told by people that have dealt with him extensively, some of the New York people that have seen him, you know, in social situations. I heard he's a singer. He's into this. He's into that. You never get that. He only lets you see a little bit of his personality. I think he can be quite a taskmaster behind closed doors. And I'm glad that that Levante David revealed that a little bit.
Remember early in the season, Antoine Winfield, they asked Antoine about, hey, when did you learn you were going to start, and how did it come about, who told you, and obviously it was a conversation he had with Bowles, and one of the things that he said jumped out at me in relation to this conversation. Bowles told him after he was informed that he was going to start, that Bowles looked at him and said, now go own it. Absolutely. That doesn't sound like a soft-spoken guy to me. Now go own it.
And, Steve, the last time that we heard those kind of remarks about a Buck defensive coordinator, Monty Kiffin was walking the sidelines. I mean, that's a long time ago. We've had a succession, assistant coaches on that side of the ball, and you know, they always talk tough. Remember Brenson Buckner, we're going to crack some heads, we're going after people, but it never happened. Steve, it never happened back then. Todd Bowles has certainly reinforced his reputation as one of the great defensive minds in this game. Doesn't mean he's going to succeed given another opportunity as a head coach. Doesn't mean that. But he is one whale of a defensive coordinator. Just ask Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Hey, Ira, real quick. The fact that Ndamukong Suh says they have that much confidence in Bowles. Look at some of the defensive coordinators he played for.
Jim Schwartz,
the guy that Cutter should have hired. Schwartz is a damn good defensive coordinator. Obviously, Ndamukong Suh played with Wade Phillips in Los Angeles. He's had some excellent, excellent coaches. And for him to say that about Bowles says a lot to me.
Ira Levante ran through talking about Tom Brady, of course, and talked about how, said, quote, he would take his time to know everybody in that locker room, end quote. And David just really kind of gushed, saying it was just so impressive and garnered so much respect that he would actually take the time to do that. And it was short time. And then he was walking around telling everybody, don't treat me differently, goof around with me, talk trash to me, talk shit to me. You know, I'm coming to your locker room. Don't treat me differently. You know, it's fascinating stuff as this stuff trickles out from behind the scenes. But it makes me wonder, you know, very unique situation for Brady coming in 2020, but now he's coming back as the top dog. Now it's his locker room. They won the Super Bowl. It's mostly the same players. And I would think they're going to look to him because he's the only guy who's won back-to-back Super Bowls with the same team, probably who's still playing in the National Football League. So, I mean, his whole dynamic changes for 2021, and I'm assuming that he knows how to handle that.
You know, it's unbelievable to say that his influence could be even more pervasive in 2021. Look, Lee, they knew about 6 Super Bowl rings, you know, when he got to Tampa. But now he did it right in front of them, and they got the ring. So that kind of reinforces it even more. Lee, the more you think about it, how, you know, Steve used the word unique. Tell me if I'm off base here, Lee, but do you remember Steeler defensive players, James Harrison, Polamalu, you know, talking about Ben Roethlisberger? I don't. No. Do you remember some of these green, you know, Matthews, Clay Matthews talking about Aaron Rodgers? I don't. Did the Legion of Boom talk about, you know, Russell Wilson incessantly and Bobby Wagner? So, Lee, my point is, it's unbelievable that Brady's influence, it goes through the entire roster, not just the quarterback room, not just the guys that are blocking for him. I mean, it's really incredible, Lee, when you think about how many defensive players talk about Brady's impact. It's really remarkable.
He has single-handedly changed the organization. Because I'm a big believer in Brady. I was a little suspicious at first, especially given the age. I am a full-blown believer now. He changed this organization from being a laughingstock to now they're in a spot where people, as you said earlier, Ira, when this podcast first started, Brady envy.
Ira, time for another conspiracy theory. Are you ready?
Sure, baby, sure.
All right, first conspiracy theory. The deals at Bill Curry Ford are so low, something's going on. I don't know what they are, but those prices are so low. And now, of course, people can go in there with their stimulus money. They've got extra incentives. There's tax incentives. Unbelievable. Sean Sullivan, GM, our good buddy, is ready for fans to reach out to him. Text in the beautiful dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Email, call him on the phone. Tell him you love the Bucks. Tell him you what you need to do, what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to get out of a lease. You got 4 months left or something. He is going to take great care of you. And that's conspiracy number one. Those prices, I'm even getting tempted, Ira. I'm getting tempted. I may have to make a move this weekend. I can't think of a better weekend to go shopping, come home, watch a little basketball, and then go out at night in my brand new truck. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, conspiracy number two is this. The NFL announced its TV deals today. All these massive deals, tens of billions of dollars through 2033. Now, I find it a little bit suspect, Ira, that after the first wave of free agency, which is the big money wave, Monday started it, and here we are, late Thursday, and all of a sudden, after the agents are trying to, you know, negotiate these massive contracts, after that first wave is over, the NFL comes out and says, yeah, we've got mountains of cash in the future years, but we just didn't tell you a few days ago, ha ha. I can't believe that the numbers that are coming out with Amazon jumping in and certain numbers doubling. Is this all a scam to just drive down the negotiating power of some of these agents in the last few days?
I'm not sure that's true, Steve, in terms of the timing of the announcement, because, you know, look, if the three of us knew that the salary cap was really going to take off starting in 2022, which we did, and rise exponentially, then everybody knew about it, especially the agents. Lee, I remember when Goodell replaced Tagliabue, and I'm thinking it was maybe 2007, Lee, 2008, somewhere around there. And I think the revenues of the league were $7 billion, Lee. And the word came out that during meetings, Goodell talked about reaching $25 billion by 2025. So take it from 7 to 25. A lot of people thought he was crazy, unrealistic. I'm not sure that's not going to happen. Everybody wants to be part of the NFL. Lee, you've said it many times. They dwarf all the other sports. I mean all the other sports. You can argue who's number two. And baseball used to rule the day. Lee, that was another
era. Baseball's probably number three.
Yeah. Lee, when they do the 25 highest rated, you know, sports programs, it's all NFL, right, Lee? All of them at the top. I'm not sure they're not going to reach that $25 billion mark. And, you know, I think the lesson for these free agents, Lee, is maybe sign a shorter deal. Don't cash in right away. You look like a guy like Godwin. Next year, Lee, he'll be a free agent unless the Bucks work out a long-term deal. And I think he'll be
franchised a second time, but
he could be. Yeah, be costly, just like Shaq Barrett's situation. Costly second time. And I think that was a factor in not franchising Barrett, and that could be a factor next year with Godwin. And that's assuming they don't work out a long-term deal with Godwin. But if I'm Godwin's agent, I'm looking ahead to the future, and that salary cap's going to bump up, and teams are going to be flush. You might take a step back to take a big step forward.
Yeah, and this was nothing. Everybody and their brother knew that because of the COVID, that everything was going to be down this year. And the smart play would have been, you know, take a roll of the dice gamble that you don't get hurt in 2021 and then hit the big time next year. I'll go along with Steve about it's very, very suspicious that less than 24 hours after the league year started, all of a sudden they come with the billions and billions of dollars flush with money. What? I mean, come on. You didn't know this money was coming before? Really? There's me, cynical me again. But also, by the way, that money that's not being counted into this is the NFL Sunday ticket money. That contract is up. This is the last year that DirecTV has the NFL Sunday ticket. So there will be another $1 billion waiting to be picked up by the NFL, from whom I don't know yet.
I'll say this, Lee. You usually your cynicism, it's well justified. Usually,
Ira, explain this to me, okay? I need your wisdom here. And this, so a former NFC South head coach, a respected guy, has been to a Super Bowl, and Ron Rivera decides to give Ryan Fitzpatrick $10 million guaranteed, plus a couple million for incentive, so he can make $12 million, but he's got $10 million guaranteed. Jameis Winston gets $5 million guaranteed with incentives that could take him up to $12 million. What am I missing here, Ira?
I don't understand this Fitzmagic stuff. I don't. I'll say it again. He's a wonderful backup. He can win you two games in a three-game stretch when your starter goes down, and then put him back on the bench. Wait, how many times do head coaches have to be disappointed when they think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a number one quarterback? I mean, he had a pretty good year with the Jets 4 or 5 years ago, but then when the biggest game of the season came, well, yeah, I believe they had a chance to make the postseason. Mm-hmm. He was awful. He was absolutely awful. Wait, if you're giving the guy $10 million, are you really thinking of him as a backup? I mean, I would roll the dice with Heinicke. I'd draft somebody, give Heinicke a chance to win the starting job in training camp. I was kind of impressed with the guy. Now, look, wait, it was only one game. It was a playoff game against the Buck defense that the following three games was tremendous.
Yeah.
And he there were some open guys for Washington, but he made about 10 throws into tight windows, Lee, if I remember that game that night.
Did he throw for 300 yards?
He threw some beautiful balls, made some great decisions. Look, I'm not saying, Washington's going to win 9 games with the guy, but I'm not giving up on him. How the heck could Fitzpatrick get that kind of contract?
Ira, I'm talking more about Winston getting half as much money guaranteed. So that tells me that Washington had no interest in Winston because he's getting half the money.
I'll tell you why Washington had no interest in him. Look what Washington's going through with all the political correct nonsense up there. You think they want a guy like Winston? I mean, I love Jameis Winston, but with his baggage, no way they don't want Winston. They weren't even going to think. And I think that's also why Winston's coming so cheap. So many teams, they don't want to gamble on that. You know, in this political age we're in now, just thinking about signing Winston, you're going to be, your job's going to be on the line. Your cojones or cajones, I'm sorry, Javier, I mispronounced that. You know what I'm talking about, are going to be on the chopping block. But Ira, I'm with you. I do not understand this Fitzmagic crap. He's Josh McCown with a beard. He's Tyrod Taylor with a Harvard degree. I'd take Tyrod Taylor over Fitzmagic, and I would. I'm dead serious about that. And I don't think anything of Tyrod Taylor.
You're a little stunned at the market value of Jameis Winston. Steve, you look around the league, and he took that one-year deal cheap with New Orleans, but he didn't get to play, Steve. Not like he showed anything. Didn't get the opportunity. He's still considered damaged goods around the league in a certain respect, Steve, and that's what's going on. Winston would not have signed that contract if he had a lot of options.
Oh, I'm not stunned at all. 30 picks. Last year's picks leader was 15. Coaches don't like interceptions and turnovers, and he's got other baggage, like Lee mentioned. It doesn't surprise me. It's just fascinating to me that how wacky it is. But it leads me to a quote from a man you know very well, Ira, Derek Brooks, who we know is not prone to hyperbole. Okay. Not prone to hyperbole, but I think we caught Brooks. I haven't written this for Joe Bucks fan yet, but I think I caught Brooks. He slipped a little bit. I think he slipped up. I think he let his true colors show, Ira.
And I know where you're going. No, I know where you're going.
Yep. He was asked about Jameis on CBS radio. And you know what he said about Jameis, Ira? And how he feels Jameis will fare in New Orleans this year? He said, quote, he's probably going to take 1,000 steps forward.
Wow. But why would that be showing his true colors? I don't understand. He's a homer, is what you're saying?
No, well, I think Brooks just isn't prone to hyperbole, and he would normally make a more tempered comment here, but he's so fired up about what Jameis he believes is going to do that he made this very, very, very bold statement.
Steve, my first reaction... Initial reaction. I think that's Brooks's way of saying Sean Payton is going to bring out the best in Jameis Winston. That's the way I look at it. It's not like New Orleans has better weapons than Winston had in Tampa. I don't think you could make that case necessarily in terms of the passing game. I think Brooks loves the combination of Sean Payton and Winston. And Lee, whatever you think, the fact is that for 15 years, Peyton and Drew Brees, I think they forged what you could argue is the greatest head coach quarterback tandem this league's ever seen. Lee, I think you could argue that.
Well, that's saying a lot. More than Lombardi or Bart Starr?
Well, Dog 15.
Buck and Landry?
15 years, Lee. 15.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, length. Okay, yeah, I guess you could say that. I was going to say, Noel and Bradshaw, those two guys were cat and dog, hated each other. That's saying a lot. Yeah, for longevity, sure. I was going to say for success, you'd have a heart. I can make some other arguments, but okay.
You think that was Brooks's way of saying that he's got more to work with in terms of talent? I don't agree with that.
I don't know what to think about what Brooks is saying other than Jameis is going to be a better quarterback. That's the only thing I can read out of it.
Well, I'd say he's been humbled, Steve. He's been humbled.
Ira, now this is where you call Brooks and you say, look, you made a bold statement on CBS. I want a response. And there you got a column, easy column. 1,000 steps forward.
Steve, I thought what you were going to say about Brooks was, didn't he allude without any details that that Brady smoothed over some issues in Tampa last fall? Steve, didn't he say that?
Yeah, he said he couldn't talk about it on air, but Brady's experience in leadership handled some issues within the team, and in addition to, you know, his counseling of players like Devin White when White was pissed off that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. But yeah, he basically flat out said Brady fixed some things behind the scenes, and you know, Brooks probably learned about them from one of the various players that he talks to. So yeah, the mystique, the mystery of Brady and what he did behind the scenes, who knows what that is. Hopefully we'll find out what Brooks specifically was talking about one day, but the list is endless of what Brady has done.
You know, Steve, the first thing that I think of, and I'm curious what you guys think about when you hear
tater tots,
when you hear Brooks say that. And look, every team, you know, has its ebbs and flows, and especially, you know, that third quarter of the year was not good, and all of a sudden they're 7-5. Really, the first thing I thought of in terms of Brady calming the waters, he might have had a little chat with playoff Lenny. When playoff Lenny was not a particularly happy camper. That's the first thing I think of. Like,
I would be willing to bet money that he did do that. I don't know that. No one's told me that. But it would not surprise me at all.
Steve, a little pep talk maybe. You know, Leonard, your day's coming. You're going to get your opportunities. I haven't lost faith in you. It doesn't take much from a guy like Brady to really restore the confidence of a guy.
Ira, last Bucks question coming up. First, we remind everybody, load up Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. This is spring break time. We already heard about the draft party, but of course, Big Storm is all about the beer, Florida's best craft beer. Buy it. It's out there. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to find out where you can pick some up. And our thanks again to our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. When you come back from spring break, you know, 5-day getaway at the beach, and all of a sudden you come home and you find that pile of water under the sink and on the kitchen floor and you smell mold already, that's your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, last call here. Antonio Brown is on that list of free agents. We know his story. I looked at some of the deals that have been going down out there, and I really caught my eye, AJ Green. Also 7 Pro Bowls, same age as Brown, a known name, a guy who played last year with some bad quarterbacks by comparison and not a lot of help around him, you know, taking pressure off for him. He ended up with $6 million plus incentives. Is that, you think, where Antonio Brown falls?
Well, Green doesn't have the baggage of Brown, the off-field issues. If I'm Brown, thinking about coming back to the Bucks. All it takes is one, you know, injury to Evans or Godwin, you know, that knocks them out for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden, you know, you're the guy, and then you cash in a year from now, maybe when your legal troubles are behind you. I think it's a depressed market for Antonio Brown, Lee. That's my read on the situation. Otherwise, I think he'd already be gone. There are some receivers out there that also are in limbo. But if I was Brown, I think I'd want to be back with the guy that wants me back, who happens to be Tom Brady. I think a year from now, Brown could be in decent shape. To even though, you know, he's in an advanced age, I think he could put some numbers up this year and enhance his free agent status.
Yes, you're right, Ira. It's a very depressed market. You know, a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster's still out there, and you know that he's a better pick than Antonio Brown, and he's still unemployed. And they rattled off all the wide receivers, good wide receivers, that are still looking for jobs. And Antonio Brown was like sixth or seventh receiver they mentioned,
right.
They being Lombardi and his partner. So It's a very depressed market. Lombardi thought either these receivers, their asking price was too high, and or they were refusing to come down. And it's getting to the point that they have to reassess their value. Otherwise, they may be unemployed for a few months.
And remember, Ira, remember, there's a very depressed market out there for your services. So stay in line.
Well said, Steve.